And at 7:06, it's 29 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy and windy today, a high of 57. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by your independent insurance agents. In Elkhorn, and see Terry Peterson at Insurance Services Incorporated or call 712-764-6000. The coronavirus pandemic has helped to pull the plug on ice skating for this winter here in Atlantic. Parks and Rec Director Bryant Rasmussen told the Parks Board Monday evening that the tarp for the basketball court is ready to go, which would make up for the ice skating rink, but the board voted to cancel unrolling it and filling it up with water, then waiting for Mother Nature to freeze it.
Been watching the proclamations that have been put out. Nothing really specifies the recreational side of it. A lot of it does just state that social distancing and things like that are being enforced, which obviously we can't within, you know, without having someone just sitting out there waiting for people to use it. We have a few college kids back that would be able to help us roll it out if we needed to.
In making the decision, though, to cancel ice skating for the season, the Parks and Rec Board cited the unknowns with the COVID-19 proclamation and the lack of use in past winters. Board member John Krogman, Jolene Smith, and Aaron McFadden.
I mean, I don't know how we have to view it any different than the swimming pool and other things. I mean, if we didn't do any of that stuff, I guess I don't know why we'd go through the effort of doing this too at this point. I mean, I don't think it's going to get better anytime sooner.
I agree with John. I think we might be wasting our time and our water on it.
I agree.
And for his part, Brian Rasmussen said in any normal year, this wouldn't have been an issue.
It doesn't get a whole lot of use. The occasional ice skater here or there. But besides that, there isn't a whole lot. If it wasn't a pandemic, we would have had it rolled out already. So we've just been kind of watching, making sure that we don't roll it out there, flood it with a bunch of gallons of water, and then have to drain it because some new proclamation comes out stating that we can or can't do it.
On a bright note, Rasmussen said he checked with a major sporting goods store and looked into purchasing 4 kayaks and 3 or 4 canoes, as well as the required life jackets, which could be rented out to persons wanting to use them at the Shilberg Quarry Lakes for fishing or other such activities.
If we went all in, it was sitting at about $5,000, which was actually a lot cheaper than what I was thinking it would come to. So right now, what I'm doing is just looking for some grants that might be able to help cover it. I think with the lakes that we have out at Schoberg's, whether it's your first time, whether you wanted to maybe take one out into the middle of Lake 3 and use it for fishing, we kind of have something set up for all of those.
And Brian provided an update on the Atlantic Parks and Rec website, which he says is slowly making progress in an updated version. And he said also that shelter reservations are being incorporated into the website and a way for people to donate funds for future park and department endeavors if they wish to do so. A single vehicle accident just before 8 a.m. Sunday in Pottawatomie County has claimed the life of a man from Shelby. According to the Pott County Sheriff's Office, the victim was identified as 26-year-old Andrew Redenbaugh. He was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash off I-80 westbound near mile marker 23. Authorities say the Silverado pickup Redenbaugh was driving left the road and struck the overpass for 298th Street. The cause of the accident remained under investigation. And a head-on crash Sunday evening in Mills County claimed the life of a man from Missouri. The state patrol said 76-year-old Johnny Joe Ford of Maryville, Missouri, died at the scene of the crash on Highway 34 near mile marker 15 at around 5:25 p.m. on Sunday. Patrol says Ford was traveling eastbound in a Toyota Prius when, for reasons unknown, the vehicle crossed into the westbound lane and collided with the Infiniti Q45 driven by 48-year-old Michael Anthony Vasquez of Malvern. Vasquez was critically injured and transported by LifeNet, the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. In our funeral announcements, Roger Moss, age 71 of Atlantic, died Saturday at his home. A private family memorial service for Roger Moss will be held tomorrow at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Max Sanford, age 15 of Manning, died Friday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Max Sanford will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the IKM Manning School. OD Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. John Jessen, age 66 of Anita, died Sunday at Caring Acres Nursing Home. Graveside services for John Jessen will be tomorrow at 3 o'clock at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita has the arrangements. Douglas Francis Bryant, age 63 of Avoca, died Thursday. No services for Douglas Bryant are planned at this time. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is assisting the family. John Novy, age 88, of Greenfield, died December 12th at the Adair County Memorial Hospital. A massive Christian burial for John Novy will be at a later date at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home of Greenfield is assisting the family. Dwayne Bandy, age 86, of Panora, died December 17th at the Taylor Hospice House in Des Moines. Cremation has taken place, and memorial services for Dwayne Bandy will be at a later date with the Twig Funeral Home of Panora in charge of arrangements. Gene McCaslin, age 91, of Greenfield, died Saturday in Overland Park, Kansas. Funeral services for Gene McCaslin are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. The news this hour was brought to you by your independent insurance agents, Brocker, Carnes & Carnes, with offices in Atlantic, Oneida, and Council Bluffs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.